Okay, we are in the middle of the sixth parak. This is not such a long parak. We're going to be finishing this parak tonight and beginning the seventh parak, which are both about zrizus, about alacrity, and about having zeal and swiftly moving into action. We basically, to sum up a little bit of what's been going on, we were previously spending a long time working on zehirus and working on being careful, being thoughtful, and kind of, we said, it's two sides of the same coin. One is focusing on what not to do, and now Zrizos is focusing on what to do and how to do it, performing the mitzvos. We are up to the following. V'hine anachnu ro'im, v'ineinu kama v'kam pa'amim shekvar libo shel adam yodeh chovaso, that a person is able to, there are times a person sees and a person knows in his heart exactly what his obligation is, and he's convinced how to serve Hashem and what his obligation is towards Hashem. But nonetheless, even though he knows what he should do, he doesn't do it. He leaves it undone. Lo mechesron akaras hachova hi, v'lo l'shem tam acher. Not because of the fact that he doesn't want to do it, let's say, because he doesn't feel obligated that he should, or for any other reason. Ela b'pnei shekvedus ha'atzla miskaberas alav. Rather, it's because of the heaviness that weighs upon him. Because as we've been discussing, man is naturally lazy. We are lazy people. Our name of an Adam, to be a person, comes from the source of an Adama, from the ground, to be weighed and brought down into the physical world. And even if a person has a desire to serve Hashem, and they know they should serve Hashem, and they even want to serve Hashem, nonetheless, it's possible for a person to not serve Hashem and to not fulfill that. The Harehu Omer, Ochal Kima, this is what we said from Shlomo HaMelech. A person eats a little, O Yishan Kima, sleep a little, O Kasha Alayla, Tzeisim Besi. Or you know what, and this is a very message that really hits home, certainly for me. It might be applicable to you, and I'll give more elaboration in a second. Or you say, it's really tough for me to leave my house. Pashatiti es kutanti echacha el bashana. I already got undressed. I already put on my pajamas. I'm going to get dressed now and go to shul. I'm going to get dressed now and go to a shir. I'm comfortable. Cham aza ba'olam. It's really hot outside. Or hakar rabba o agashamim. It's really cold outside. Or it's raining. I'm going to leave now. V'chol shar ha'amas los v'ato'anos asher Piha Atzilim Mole Mehem. He says, or there are many, many other excuses that a person could have. And I think this part is, certainly, I know it speaks to me. And where there have been plenty of times, even though certainly the minion speaks to me less. The minion, thank God, I'm able to go to minion when I have to, and almost doesn't matter whatever is going on outside. But the sheer example that I gave is very applicable to me. There have been plenty of times where I didn't take certain learning opportunities that were going on in the community where I was living because I was comfortable. I was already in my apartment. I was already home. And I just didn't want to go out again. I'm sure you've been in that boat, and I assume at least once, if not many times more, in your life, where it's just tough. It's not that you don't want to go to the sheer. It's not that you're not motivated to learn or do that. And you could say there are many rationalizations. I'll learn here. I've done plenty today. I had a tough day at work. I need to relax. I'm going to Marv, or I already went to Marv. I have to go out again. I might not be able to get a spot when I get back. There are a million examples. That's his point, is that even after the classic examples of I already changed, it's hot out, it's cold out, it's raining out, there are many, many other examples. And I'm sure right now, if we spent the next few minutes brainstorming, we could come up with plenty. But that is, it's very true. And it's important for us to recognize that about ourselves, to recognize when we're making excuses. And I'll discuss that shortly, when we're making excuses and when we're not. But certainly I know 100% for myself that there have been plenty of times where I've made excuses and have not taken certain opportunities that I should have probably taken because of laziness. Like, that's what it is. It is laziness. It's not necessarily the classic picture of laziness of sitting on my couch or watching TV and I don't want to get up or do anything productive. But it's a different type of laziness, but certainly still laziness of, I just don't want to go out. It's a little tough. It's a little annoying. And just to share one brief anecdote. In the Gemaras, in many Gemaras now that are printed, so Gemaras are printed where they have many, where they have the psukim on the side. So oftentimes when the Gemara quotes a pasuk, it will have maybe two words, three words, but rarely, it's not so common where the entire pasuk is quoted. Certainly, it's not where the entire section is quoted. And someone told me, Bishamer of Sobolovsky, they thought it's a terrible thing. Because once they start putting in the pasuk in the Gemara on the side, it says people, there's two things. A, people aren't going to look up to see the actual context of that pasuk. That it happens where it's often, where if you were to read a few psukim earlier, maybe a few psukim later, they'll have a much better understanding of the proof that the Gemara is bringing by bringing that pasuk. That's one thing. It could be an actual deficiency in understanding the Gemara properly. And the other thing, the reason I'm bringing this up now, is that it gives into laziness. And a person is able to just sit there at their table with their chavrusa, or sit there by themselves, and to say, you know, I don't need to get up, I don't need to walk over to my shelf to grab a Tanakh or a Chumash. I have the pasuk right here, I'm fine. And just that laziness, that inability to get up to search for something, I've had this also, I've thought about this for myself at times when it comes to looking up a word in a dictionary. It's like, I think I get the context, I don't need to walk over the shelf to get a dictionary because it's annoying. I think we've also probably been there in that boat. Continuing on, up to Uvechein. Uvechein kach, sorry, ven kach ha-Torah munachas. And because of this, because of all these excuses that the person's making, so the Torah is going to be left unstudied. The avoda mevutalas, and the person's avodas Hashem is going to be batal, it's going to be nullified. The adam ozev esporah, and in the end, the person may leave Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hu mashe Shlomo Omer, and this is what Shlomo Amelch says in Koheles, ba'atzal tayim yima chamekare uveshiflos yadayim yidlof havayis. The atzel, the person who's lazy, his ceiling will sag, his ceiling will droop down, and the person with idle hands, his house will leak. Like, a person is not going to take care of the problems when he's lazy, right? How many times is it where there's overflowing garbage or a laundry basket that's overflowing because we're too lazy to take out the garbage or to do the laundry? I think we've all at some point, or if not many points, if not at this current moment in life, have been in one of those two boats. Ve'ula, im tish'al es pi ha'atzel, if you ask the lazy person, just have a conversation with him, ask him, yavo l'cha b'mamarim rabim mimarei chachamim. You know what he's going to say? He's going to come to you with mamarei chazal. He's going to bring you proofs from the Torah that what he's doing is correct. V'amikros min ha'ksuvim psukim from ksuvim, v'atanos min ha'seichel. He's going to bring plenty of logical arguments to whatever he wants to do. Asher kulam yorulo, that all of them are going to be instruct him lefi daito ha'mishubeshes, to his perverse way of thinking. L'hake alav l'anicho b'minuchas atluso, that are, in the end, are going to leave him alone and enable him to continue to stay lazy. I have a good friend of mine, Dov Pienko, who works in Ramaz, in the upper school, and certainly he knows a lot of Torah. And he told me, and he believes strongly this idea in a certain sense, that you can find a source for anything in Torah, for any side. And if you think about it, oftentimes what the Gemara is, and when you have even machlokas amongst achronim about things, is because of this issue, because of this exact point, that you could have one pasuk that says, oh, look, this is my proof, and someone else says, what do you mean? No, this pasuk is, this is my proof. This other pasuk is my proof. That pasuk is not a proof for this, right? That pasuk is a proof for that, right? So you have plenty of times where a person can learn in a warped way with something that they find as a proof from Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, Mishnah, Midrash, Gemara, whatever it may be. But there are plenty of times where a person could find proofs for their for what they want. So here you have a lazy person. The lazy person could justify his behavior to what, however he sees it. And this person is unable to see that the thought process that he has, that his reasoning is skewed. He thinks that he's being rational and he's being honest with himself. But rather, in fact, they're flowing from a place of laziness. Just to share, I'll finish this all, then I'll share something else. I share biyosa higoverisbo, and that's where it's gaining its strength from. I just want to share one, I think you'll find this interesting, one potentially interesting insight, is that I'm in a high school, and there are plenty of times, and this certainly applies to adults as well, but there are plenty of times where someone will say they don't believe in something. Either they don't believe, they're not sure they believe in Hashem, they're not sure they believe in the Torah, they don't agree with this mitzvah makes no sense, those types of thought processes. And when it comes to that way of thinking, I don't think this is my chiddush. If it's wrong, it's my chiddush. But I may have potentially heard this from somewhere, I'm not sure, I honestly can't remember. But I think what it comes down to is, deep down, a person knowing that they should do that, but knowing that it's very hard and that there's a sacrifice to be made. So if a person really says, you know, I do believe in Hashem, or I do believe in the whole Torah, I do believe in Chazal, in the words of Chazal, in this mitzvah, then they're bound to do it. So it's much easier for them to try in their minds. And I think the reason I bring this up now is because I think they don't even realize what they're doing. They think on a certain plane that they don't believe in Hashem. They're not sure they believe in Hashem. They're not sure they believe in Torah Mi-Sinai, or it could be more simple. They're not sure they agree with this mitzvah, or this doesn't make sense in our day and age, in the 21st century. They think that's why they're saying it, but really it's coming from a place of, this is too hard for me. And they're convincing themselves this rationale. Continuing on. So Mata Daito Vesichlo Ela Tainos Ha'ele. So he's going to sway his mind and his thought process towards these flawed arguments. Asher Lo Yishma L'Kol HaChachamim Anshei Deh Nechona. And he's not going to listen to the voices and the words of the Chachamim and the people who have the proper way, the proper path, the proper thoughts. Hu Masha Shlomo Tzavech Omer. This is what Shlomo HaMelech cries out and says, Chacham Atzel Be'inav Mishiva Mishive Tam. That the Atzel, the lazy person, is smarter, views himself as smarter than seven wise people, basically. You could have seven Talmidei Chachamim, and this Atzel thinks he's better than them, because his process, his thought process is correct. They're wrong. Ki ha'atzlo einena manachas lo, shiye afilu chasha divrei mochichim oso. Because the person who's lazy doesn't allow himself to consider that he might be wrong, and that there might be some validity to what they're saying. Rather, he thinks that they're misguided, they're the foolish ones, and he alone is the big chacham. Right? He alone is the person that's smart. To give another example, I'll use this from the music world. I heard an interview with John Mayer, a musician. John Mayer said that there are times where he'll write a song and he'll feel and say, this song is great. He might not announce that to everyone, but he really feels it is a great song. And he puts it out and he'll release it, let's say, as a single, and it doesn't do so well. And he has another song that he feels is good, but not as great. And he puts that out, and that will win him a Grammy. And he said, when you put something out and it doesn't do well, that means that it's not great. It's not where you're right, because you say, oh, no, this is great. They have no idea what they're saying. They're good judges for your music. And so when you have a million people who hear a song and don't show that they love it, and you feel it's amazing, he says, go with the a million people. They're probably right on this one, and you're probably the one who's wrong. So similar in a certain sense over here. V'hine teida, ki ze klal gadol minusa b'melechas haprishas. That this, you should know, that this following rule is a great principle when it comes to, in a person trying to abstain from improper behavior. Because even if a person wants to be yashar, wants to do the right thing, so now he's discussing that how do you know whether you're thinking, he's going to say, how do you know whether you're thinking the proper thoughts or not? How do you know whether you're making an excuse or whether you're being valid? Right, so right now, none of us are able to go to shul. But I'm sure there have been times in our lives, and I'll give you an example. Let's say there are times where I'm not sure if my wife is very tired in the morning, and I'm up watching my son, and time when I was able to go to shul, should I ask my wife, could you like stay up and push yourself for another 45 minutes and I'll go to shul? Or maybe should I stay home and daven? So how do I know if I have the thought process of, I should stay home, I should let my wife sleep? Is that the proper thought, or is that me trying to get out of minyan but not totally realizing it? You know what I mean? I don't know if that's an amazing example. I think it's pretty good, but there are plenty of times you could apply it to other cases as well. How do you know whether your thought process is correct and you're thinking the right thoughts, or you're just being lazy? And it's really the Yetzer Hara trying to get you out of something. He says, Al kein tzorach livdok acharei v'chakiros u'drishos rabos. He says, you have to really think it through. Im achar kol eile titzdak. If after you thought it through really well, and you analyzed it from all different angles and vantage points, and you say, yeah, no, I should stay home. I should let my wife sleep. I really feel that's the right thing to do. Vada shitoa. So then that is the right thing to do. As long as you really have thought it through and you were honest with yourself. So it's not just the first thought that comes to your mind, but you have to really think things through in order, as a litmus test, to see if you are doing the right thing. Klolo shel davar. And The important rule is that a person needs to be mechazik themselves, needs to be strong, and to have zrizos, perform mitzvos with zrizos, to cast off, to throw off the heaviness and the laziness that's going to potentially try to prevent you from doing this. V'tira, you should know, that the angels are praised by this, through this. It says about the malachim, they're men of strength who fulfill the will of Hashem when Hashem speaks His words. And it's pointed out in the Gemara in Shabbos, that in this pasuk, if you look at it, it says they do, and then the shmo b'kol dvar, and then they hear what Hashem wants them to do. It's strange, it's backwards. Meaning, first it should say, it's like nasa b'nishma. First it should say, they hear what Hashem wants, and then they do it right away. That's reza. So it's saying, it's true, of course, they have to hear what Hashem commands them first, but they have such a desire, and obviously the angels don't have yetahara. So right away, the second they hear that, they're jumping at the opportunity to serve Hashem and fulfill their mission. That ki'ilu, the pasuk is brought this way to show that ki'ilu, they're doing it before they even hear it. They're so excited and so energetic and full of zrizith to do it. And that's what he's saying, for us to try our best to emulate the malachim. V'omer, it says Yechezkel, v'achayos, ratzo v'ashov kemare habazak. That the angels, chazar, type of angels, that they go this way and that way, like a flash. A flash of lightning, basically. Very quickly, running to serve Hashem. V'hine Adam, hu Adam v'lo malach. But nonetheless, of course, a human is just a human. Right? We do not have the ability to be malachim. But al kein, I efsha lo shiagia l'gvuraso shel malach. So even though it's impossible for us to get to the level and the madriga of a malach, ach vadai shekol mash yuchal iskariv madrigaso eilav, roi sheiskariv. As close as a person is able to get to, so that's what you should do, roi sheiskariv. However much you could get to that level, right? So let's say a person, if you want to start taking piano lessons, you want to be the next Mozart, you are not going to be the next Mozart, right? It is not going to happen. So your goal is to get as close to Mozart's level as possible. So here, Lahavdil, the goal is to get as close to the Zrizus of a Malach as you could have. V'David HaMelech Hayim Meshabeach Al-Chel Kove Omer. And David HaMelech praised his portion. Achel kov yomer chashti v'loes mamati lishmaran tosecha. David Melech was proud and said, "I hastened. I went quickly, and it didn't delay in being able to guard and fulfill and serve Hashem and perform His mitzvos." And it's something that is very, very. It's sometimes very difficult to do, to combat the laziness within us. I know a person, he is now rabbi in West Hempstead, Rabbi Elon Soniker. He's a rabbi at MTN and rabbi in West Hempstead. And if I'm not mistaken, I've heard this from him, almost positive, where he went to Reshit for his year or years in Israel. And in Reshit, there are a few floors, and they're connecting buildings, and the base measures where you learn in Davin is on the top floor of the next building. So almost always, or literally actually always, you have to go up a flight or two flights based on where you are. And there's an elevator. It happens to be it's a very slow elevator, but there's an elevator. And I've heard him say that he always made sure to not take the elevator when he went up for Shacharis, because he wanted to show that I have to get to davening. Let me walk up the steps. Not just perform the action, but I think also like run up the steps to be able to fulfill this, to be able to fulfill the zrizas, as opposed to coming to davening, taking an elevator, and not moving at all. And even that small amount, as we're going to discuss next week, is very important in terms of the quality of the mitzvah that you're about to perform. Even though I thought we were going to potentially start the next perek, I think this is a good stopping point. And the Ezra Hashem,